Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Too heavy on the run game. Joe, you alluded to early in the show, you said everything they do when they're running the ball, it sets up everything, the play action, everything that this thing has done is predicated how good the running game is. You couldn't take that chance on special teams. Had to have them in the offense.
I'm going to be honest about something here. I don't know how everyone feels about it, but yesterday at the end of this game, I stopped taking notes. It was such a blowout. I just stopped taking notes. I stopped looking at the computer. I'm just staring at the screen thinking, the 5 years I've been here covering Niner football, I don't remember seeing this. Like, it's a functional team. They look well-coached. They look well-oiled. You got guys making plays all over the place. Mitch Wishnowsky with a beautiful coffin corner punt that's not getting nearly enough attention today.
It's not getting enough attention. You're mentioned every hour, every 30 minutes.
One hour, I think, is fair. He should get a full hour. Let me ask you something. Can you do that? And you're on the Hall of Fame
ballot.
No,
I can't.
Then it's worth mentioning.
He's awesome. I'm not saying that the guy can't kick, can't punt. He did a great job. He made it for last week. The shank that he had, the 10-yard punt.
Wasn't a 10-yard punt. Fake news.
What's a shank?
You, sir, are fake news.
Dibs, was that a shank punt last week?
Wasn't a true shank.
What's a true shank?
A true shank is when, and shout out,
it's your golf game. That's what a true shank is. Go play golf today. You'll see a true shank.
Coach, 30 yards.
Is that too close to home?
25 yards. If it comes off the side of your foot and it flails.
How far did it go?
Coach, we're splitting hairs on a team that's 2-0 right now.
It was 30-plus yards, that punt you're referring to. So
we're
not
dwelling on the wrong thing right now. If we want to micro-pick negatively.
I'm not picking at the guy. The guy's freaking unreal. I'm happy he's here. Joe, your boy's got his shirts. The guy can punt. He's freaking a tackler. He can do it all. But last week, if you bring him on the show, it's a bad punt. They're in the end zone. They need a big play. The guy barely gets to 30 yards.
I mean, what a hater.
No, I love him.
That doesn't sound like love. That's not what love sounds like.
That punt yesterday, he brought rain. He punted that ball so high.
And that's all I was trying to do was give him a little credit, and you came in, That's me doing you. That's my low right there. Okay, so let me get back to this, though.
Please do, Joe.
I started thinking maybe, just maybe, with the way things are cooking, 2-0, December 9th, I believe is the date. December 8th, actually. Niners at New Orleans. I'm starting to think a little Joe Lowe and Dibs road trip might be something that needs to be kicked around. Okay, so I was going through the schedule. If you're going to take a road trip, there are a few candidates out there. New Orleans looks pretty good. And New Orleans at the beginning of December, it's a very dead time in New Orleans, which means you have the run of the place and good pricing. I'm starting to think that if this team, what we talk about all offseason, the only thing we wanted to see come early December is in the far right column on Sunday Night Football when Al Michaels is giving you the playoff picture, the Niners are in the hunt. That would be the definition of in the hunt at New Orleans in a game that could very well be flexed December 8th.
Oh, I mean, we're talking about flex games now.
Flex them all. Niners on Sunday night every week.
Dude, that would be awesome. I'm sitting here. I got quiet. Dibs, that'd be great if we take the trip.
Oh, Joe Lowe and Dibs, anyone who wants to join us, maybe like, we do 10 days in New Orleans.
That sounds about right, because you got to get acclimated, Coach. You can't go out there and, you know, worry about cramping.
Yeah, I mean, we're at high altitude here compared to New Orleans. We got to get used to the sea level. We got to get used to the food, you know, give ourselves time to acclimate to the central time zone.
Second floor of this building, we're about 12 feet above sea level.
Oh, I can see the street.
And the fans, you guys come out. Oh, you know, that's my old stomping ground.
Let it marinate. Chilled auto body text line 95795. Anyone interested in possibly a Joe Lowe and Dibs road trip, think about it, because that might be a scenario where there needs to be a little bit of noise in the old voodoo dome if they're struggling late in the season. Chance to win breakfast with Baldy in 5 minutes. Let's go back to the billions. Biggie in San Antonio. Look at us. We're taking calls from all over the place today. Biggie in San Antonio. What's up, Biggie?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing this morning?
Doing great. How are you?
Hey, doing good, man. Just moved to this area maybe a few months ago. But listen, hey, look, I'm very hype about this team right now. I've been a Niners fan since I was about maybe 8 years old. And I'm telling you, this is a playoff team. And I'm going to tell you why. What's two things that playoff teams have? They have a good running game on the road, and they pack their defense. That's what you need, and that's what we've been proving the last two games. And that's all I have, guys. Just can't wait till we get to the playoffs.
A great uptick, Big E.
That's a Texas uptick right there from San Antonio.
Strong. Running the ball and defense on the road. If you have those things low, a defense travels, they always say, in the National Football League, and so does a run game. And you're a little concerned with Joe Staley going to be out for 6 weeks, but you figure with that defense is playing as well as they are, and the running game humming, you feel like you can win any ball game.
Chilled Auto Body text line, should I bring stew or soup to the New Orleans tailgate? That's what I'm talking about. Do they have White Claws in NOLA? I'm sure we'll find them.
NOLA, baby.
If we're going to NOLA, I got to be honest. As much as I love the claw, there's not going to be any claw. We're going to do the Hurricanes, the Grenades, do a little drive-through daiquiri, chuck it out in the street.
Perfect. I love it.
Some sharps. Oh, we'll get you, we'll get you thousands of sharps.
Maybe we give him a get-out-of-sobriety free card for a day or two. Let him just get crazy.
You're doing a great job. Don't listen to him. He's an enabler.
I'm really proud.
Matt O'Brien's. I know all the spots. I've played there for 4 years now, guys. I got some stolen grounds.
New Orleans.
I don't want to go to some of those places you used to go to.
No, good
places. And you know what I'm talking about, the scary places.
No, good places.
New Orleans is the place where he famously picked me up. Because we were at a watering hole.
Yes.
Was there with, I think Kevin Green was there. Michael Silver was there. Like a bunch of who's who.
How'd you get in?
Side door, of course. You kidding me? Bypass the velvet rope.
Joke was just sitting there.
From behind, I get, whoo, this guy just comes from behind me and picks me up almost one-handed and like pump fakes like he's going to throw me through the window behind the bar. And it's none other than your favorite fullback, Lo Neal.
You have incredible strength with things like that. Do you even know the limits of your own strength?
I bet like,
if he needed to, like had a full adrenaline surge, he could pick you up and throw you across the street.
Across the street.
I would bet that.
Coach, he pump faked me. And I'm the better part. I'm a better part of a $180 and change. And
okay.
Closer to 207.
Right. $180 and change. That's a lot of change.
That's a lot of change.
That's like grandma's penny jar.
Coins are rattling
been out there
everywhere.
For like 40 years collecting change.
But that was back when the big fella was getting crazy.
I love it because when I grab you like that, it's just like, you're like, you got me, Lo. You're just like, all right, Lo, you can kill me, but just I'm going with it. He just relaxed and just let me throw him all over the place. Who was the guy who ran all his
like the
AFC?
Animals that played dead?
Right.
That's his defense
who's
mechanism.
Who's the guy had all the rings? Dead. He didn't win a Super Bowl, but he kept showing off the rings, and we were just God.
I can't remember. Brett Kiesel was there, too, with the beard. Yeah, I saw him
saying they'll bring the cigars. They know you're a huge cigar fan. We'll get my man some cigars down there. It's starting to feel like this is building some momentum. A lot of fan bases apparently are into this, too, or at least the one-offs of the Niner Empire. We're going to have to hook up with a few people on that. Back to the phone, ZK in Dublin. ZK, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thank you guys for taking my call.
No doubt. What do you got?
Hey, I just wanted to weigh in on the Niners and the whole 2-0. You guys had a question whether they were going to make the playoffs, and I got two things on that, or based on two things, if they can stay healthy and work on them penalties. Because first week, defense definitely won that game for us. Yesterday's game, that was a whole team effort, you know, special teams, offense, defense, they all played a part. And that's where you see the 41. And honestly, only thing that's going to hurt us now is going to be ourselves. So hopefully we have a season that we can enjoy.
Appreciate the phone call. That's good stuff. A lot of optimism and positivity today.
He's right, though, especially with the penalties, though. So yesterday, a lot of penalties still.
Another 9 penalties.
Yeah, you got to cut these penalties down.
They've ranked. That's we talked about this coming into the year under Shanahan. Two glaring issues. Penalties, which have not been cleaned up, and red zone conversions, which were they even in the red zone yesterday? They were scoring from everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson,
red zone was fine.
Yeah, Wilson Jr. and Mostert, everyone getting in the end zone yesterday. Debo with a touchdown as well.
Debo!
Crazy how good that offense looked.
Man, they look fantastic. They're third in the NFL in scoring right now. It's the Ravens, the Patriots, and the Niners as the top three teams in the NFL in scoring. I know it's early.
You know what
it's
the top three has in common, right?
It sounds good, though.
The top two both have played the team that was called the worst team in the history of football, the Miami Dolphins. That's the only real reason why you're third is because each of them have had a crack at Miami, who, by the way, is, I think, minus 90 in point differential. Miami's on pace to give up 800 points this year.
This is crazy. No, honestly, it's crazy how Miami. I thought they would be.
Is it crazy that since Marino, they continue to suck?
My God,
there's nothing crazy about Miami.
But wouldn't you expect a little bit more? I mean, Joe, two games. You
I wouldn't expect you to be humiliated.
50 something. You're giving.
You've given up 102 in two
Games.
We'll jump back into it. It's 8:16. We're going to do it every day at 8:15. Breakfast with Baldy. Here's how this is going to work. Good friend of the program, Brian Baldinger, is going to be on the call for the Steelers Niners game this weekend, which means he's going to be in the Bay Area Friday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. during this show. He's coming in to co-host the show with us. We are giving you a chance today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday at 8:15 each day to win the opportunity for you and a guest to come in, have some breakfast with us, hang out, watch the show, yuck it up, all that good stuff. So the first opportunity for this is right now. It's going to be the first person who gets the trivia question right on the contest line, which is 844-999-GAME. The question, how many teams did Brian Baldinger play for in the NFL? There it is, 844-999-4263, 844-999-4263, also known as 844-999-GAME. How many teams did Brian Baldinger play for when he was in the National Football League? Person who gets that right first, them and a guest, you're coming in to have breakfast with your boys on Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Sounds like a good time.
It's a great time. And just one clue
you
for you.
You bring the breakfast.
It's between 1 and 32. That's your clue for the day. The answer is between 1. He did play in the league. And 32 would be, you know.
If you were to really work through it, probably not 32.
True.
Also probably not 1. Why would we ask this question if it was 1? It's like, trivia question. How many teams has Tom Brady played for? Yeah, 1. That's it.
Yeah.
1.
Baldy trivia all week, though, and your chance to come in and have breakfast with the fellas.
Let's go back to the lines. Light them up. 888-957-9570. Jay in San Jose. Jay, thank you for the phone call. Fire when ready.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hey, breaking news. Mike Silver said, hey, Garoppolo's going to play next week. Great. Hey, this defense is something serious. I told you guys a couple weeks ago, Garoppolo doesn't have to play great. He just has to play better than good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for the phone call. We really appreciate it. This going back to last week, I don't think it was Silver's opinion. It's just what he was hearing, that the Niners are very fond of Nick Mullins, and if things don't go well with Garoppolo, Lowe has made this point too. If you're a team that's ready to win now and the quarterback is struggling and the backup is more than capable, turn the keys over. Win now. Stop waiting around. It's an excellent point, to which the counter was, Jimmy needs to go out and have a big game, right? Go out and have a big game and silence the conversation for a week at the very least. And that's what Garoppolo did yesterday. Garoppolo played well enough that at no point during the week are we going to wonder, well, is he the guy for the job? Well, is he going to be able to beat Pittsburgh? No, he silenced him for a week. That was his job as a franchise quarterback. That's not to say we won't revisit this down the line, but for right now, you buy yourself some time when you play well like that.
Absolutely. And give Jimmy credit. I mean, everyone was wanting to see what he could do. And I know he wanted to see what he could do. He had pressure on himself. He had pressure on him, the organization, the fans, and the players wanted to see Jimmy play. I mean, you had Kittle come out and say, we're going to do as good as Jimmy G does. If Jimmy G plays well, we're going to play well. If Jimmy G plays bad, it starts and falls with Jimmy G. This is your tight end gave him that endorsement. And oh, by the way, tight end who didn't catch a lot of balls yesterday because they were doubling, tripling, but had a hell of a job. He did a hell of a job blocking. Think that guy should have a game ball. You're talking about so many game balls to give out yesterday. Should have saw this guy blocking downfield, dibs 10 yards, 15 yards downfield, pancaking guys, going down, cutting guys at the leg, doing everything that you want him to do. He played yesterday nasty, and when he finally caught that one pass, that stiff arm was unreal.
He went right stiffy, switched the ball, and then he went left stiffy. That was my
violent.
Favorite part. It's because he had it. He gives the first guy the shove.
Right to the face.
And he knows he's going the other way, so he goes quick ball switch, and then he goes to the face of the other guy. It's like, my God, he's had all this pent up all day. He's been lighting people up without the ball, and now he got to do it with the ball as well.
Monster Monday brought to you by Benjamin Moore Paints. Paint like no other. And Dolan, Lumber, Windows, and Doors. Jerry Rice will join us in about 20 minutes at 8:40 from the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. This is from the 510. Was Jimmy G good or Cincy that bad at blowing coverage? Now, again with this, look at Cincinnati last week on the road in Seattle against Russell Wilson. How well did Russell play versus Garoppolo yesterday? Cincinnati was at home for the home opener, should have had some crowd noise. If you want to be quick to critique, well, gauge the situation against each other. Maybe Cincy's not a great football team. After all, they are 0-2. Maybe they will be lousy this year, but they played a much better brand of defense at Seattle against Russell Wilson in a much tougher environment than yesterday against Garoppolo. You can't set the schedule. The league does that. Whatever's in front of you, go out there and handle your business. We still get the people who try to cut down these wins. You're 2-0 for the first time since 2012. You went to the Super Bowl that year. You're 2-0 on the road to open the season for the first time since 1989. You won the Super Bowl that year, right? This is somewhat historic. At the very least, it's somewhat rare. Enjoy what you have in front of you. You finally have a football team playing competent football. We haven't seen that for a while.
Right, and it's beyond that for me. It's the way it went yesterday, because Kyle Shanahan was brought in because he's supposedly the greatest play caller in football. And what you saw yesterday was the greatest play caller in football on display. The first touchdown, you sneak Goodwin across the formation. The second one, Lowe mentioned it, the perfect call. It was a blitz beater. You were doing it all game with Debo. You were running left and right, up the middle. You were sharing the ball. You didn't need the best tight end in football, because Kyle Shanahan, that was an absolute masterclass performance of play calling. And the offense really only had a few mistakes. There was the one drive where McGlinchey false starts. They call timeout. And then the next play, they come out and Jimmy G false starts. And then you end up getting rid of the ball on that possession. But other than that, it was a near 100% grade for Shanahan and for this entire offense.
Jimmy Garoppolo, the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, after the game on Kyle Shanahan's play calling.
Great one. Makes my job very easy. His mind, it's incredible just how he thinks. He's, you know, two plays ahead while we're running the current play, and it makes everything so easy. And when he gets in a rhythm like that, it just puts everyone in a good position.
The broadcast yesterday spent so much time focusing on how the Niners spent the week in Youngstown and how that takes you out of your routine and how you're away from home and things are different and it's a challenge. It almost seems like when you're in that situation, you have no opportunity but to study football, focus on the game, and to bond with your teammates. It feels like that might be more of a positive. You always said you enjoyed playing on the road because you don't have any of the distractions, right? You don't have family and friends and everyone hitting you up for tickets and all the things you have to do locally. You get on a plane, you fly somewhere else, you focus on the job at hand.
Yeah, and you saw that, and Jimmy G alluded to just talking about being on the same time difference, so didn't have to worry about getting up a couple hours early to get their bodies used to it. So, and they were able to do a lot of great things in the community. You saw the players going out in Ohio, visiting the sick and the shut in, you know, doing a bunch of things that they were able to do during that week. So they had a busy schedule. The guys knew it was a business trip. They took care of business. I don't think it was a huge distraction. They packed their bags. Guys knew they're going to probably bunk up with someone. You're living with the guy for a week. Understand what's at stake. And guys held each other accountable. You didn't hear about any guys going out freaking getting in any trouble. Nothing happened. They understood it was about business. You hear Richard Sherman, your leaders on that team. Guys, let's go out here. Let's take care of business. I thought it wasn't necessarily a distraction. Yeah, guys would like to be home, but at the same sense, don't you rather be on the same time zone? Wouldn't you rather already be out there? You're already acclimated to the time. So I thought it worked out, and they performed at a very high level.
Do you do it again for the Baltimore-New Orleans swing? After the way this worked, do you go to Baltimore, play that game, and then stay in Youngstown and go south to New Orleans to play the Saints? Or do you come home afterwards? We talked to John Lynch last week. He said they were undecided on that.
Maybe you go to Miami or you go somewhere more of a warmer climate. Because I don't know if you necessarily want to go to Ohio, Central Ohio, in early December.
It's like Balboa training in Russia for the Russian. You got to go to Ohio.
No, he needed the edge. I think if the Niners are sitting at 10-2, you don't want to go freeze your tuchus off in Youngstown in December. It's a pass.
But they're going to play Baltimore, and then they're going to go to New Orleans. New Orleans is hot. So
go down to Miami, coach, and enjoy 4 days on the beach.
No, they ain't going to do that.
I don't know about enjoying 4 days on the beach. You got to stay focused. These need to be hardened men. You need hard men to win football games.
That's not what it's about.
What's wrong with you?
Go to Miami.
You want that bet to
lose. He's like, why don't you just have a good time?
The Giants did that in the playoffs a couple years ago. How'd that work out for them?
Sabotaging them.
Oh, never mind. They lost.
That was Odell Beckham. Remember when that was the problem in New York? Beckham on a boat?
Yeah.
Now they're just getting rolled on a regular basis. By the way, shout out the Buffalo Bills for winning the New Jersey State High School Football Championship. They went into New Jersey and beat the Jets. They went into New Jersey and beat the Giants. The Bills are the kings of New Jersey.
And they also stayed in one place, by the way. They stayed in their hotel in New York. They actually went home for a couple days and left their rooms intact and then came back to New York and resumed their occupancy.
All right. I did not know that. Nice tip.
Yeah, I picked up that nugget this morning on the drive-in. kinds of stuff going on.
Devin, Kevin, Theo, and everybody else on hold, hang tight. We will bring you into the show next. We got to get to Joe Staley, the injury. Should the Niners consider calling the Redskins and inquiring about left tackle Trent Williams? That plus Jerry Rice at 840. A lot of good stuff. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Here is Stephen Langford with what's coming up on the game.
Thank you, Joe. What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Dialpad. The 49ers took it to the Bengals in Cincinnati yesterday with a 41-17 victory. Jimmy Garoppolo threw three touchdowns while running backs Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, and Jeff Wilson Jr. combined for 259 yards rushing. Back in the Bay, the Raiders fell to the Chiefs 28-10 in the Raiders' last home game until November 3rd. Hall of Famer and 95.7 The Game NFL insider Jerry Rice will join the program at 8:40 as he does every Monday to talk about Week 2 of this NFL Sunday. 49ers veteran offensive lineman Joe Staley is expected to be out for 6 to 8 weeks with a broken fibula. Will the Niners seek out a replacement? NFL insider Michael Lombardi will answer that and more with the guys at 9:05. Remember, take Joe Lowe and Dibs on the go and download the radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. Dialpad is changing the game for business communication. Host calls and meetings in the cloud, put a business line on your cell phone, and get analytics to make every call smarter. Over 60,000 businesses trust Dialpad to bring their phone system into the 21st century. Visit dialpad.com. Coming up, NFL Hall of Famer Jerry Rice on Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
The Niners 41, the Bengals 17. The Niners are 2-0 for the first time since 2012. Oh, by the way, they went to the Super Bowl that year. They are 2-0 with back-to-back road wins to open the season for the first time since 1989. Oh, by the way, they went to and won the Super Bowl that year as well. 572 yards of offense. It's like Oklahoma. 572 yards of offense. That's the most they've put up since a 45-3 win over the Buffalo Bills in 2012. That's impressive. I don't care who your opponent is. You go on the road and you do that to somebody. That is impressive. Like we said, Jerry Rice in about 7 minutes. Let's get a couple phone calls in from the Billions. Devin in San Francisco. Devin, welcome to the show. Joe Staley out for the next 8 weeks. According to head coach Kyle Shanahan, what would you do?
Good morning, fellas. Honestly, to talk about that, you know, you look at Washington and you look at the depth of our backfield. You guys are talking about a first-round pick, and I hear that. But I think the running back dynamic is something we need to look at with, you know, respectively, Mostert with 151. You got Breida, 133, then Jeff Wilson punching in two. We got Coleman and McKinnon sitting on the bench. And, you know, who knows what McKinnon's going to be like when he gets back. But Tevin Coleman's a great mix when it comes between Breida and, you know, Jeff Wilson with the power and the speed. Coleman comes downhill. So what happens when Tevin Coleman comes back with our running back dynamic and we have three players who can produce and we also need a tackle. So what are we going to do with the running backs when we are healthy and have Tevin Coleman back in the backfield? But are we just going to risk a first-round pick for that? Or are we going to, you know, possibly negotiate getting rid of this very deep backfield that reminds me of the Michael James days when we had 4 to 5 running backs that, you know, looked great in college, and a couple of them had potential, and if they're in the right system, they could produce. So I just kind of want to hear what you guys feel about the running back dynamic and, you know, how we'll move forward on that with the Trent Williams situation.
Well, who better to ask than a running back who's on the NFL Hall of Fame ballot than none other than Mike Holstock? Can we get Mike Holstock on the phone?
Can we call Mikey back? I know we had him in Does Low. No.
If he's not available, maybe Edgerrin James. Wow, and good. If we work our way through the whole thing, maybe Lorenzo Neal. What do you think when you hear that? I see running back as a problem right now. It's step up, make a play.
Absolutely. Step up, make a play. I think that we all know that Jeff Wilson be the guy that would be expendable, probably go back down to practice squad. Or, you know, but if he plays as well as he continues, he won't be on that practice squad for him long. Someone will snatch him up. So you're going to have to do something there. I think that Mostert has earned a right to tote the ball. I think even when Coleman comes back, I don't see where he's not going to have at least 4 or 5 totes a game. You're in a good situation. You need three backs. You got three backs that are capable. I think that now you're in a situation. What do you do? What are you going to do? Is it next year? Because you got a guy that's been Jet McKinnon's been injured. I don't see this guy playing. So when the caller's talking about Jet McKinnon, here's a guy that's probably not going to be on the roster next year. Don't know that. Probably just this year he's on IR. Because are you going to let Breida leave the building? Breida's going to be up after this year. You're going to probably
restricted free agent.
Restricted free agent, but you'll probably do the best thing right now, and probably I wouldn't be surprised if they tie him up during the season, do a, you know, 3 or 4 year deal, because you got some capable backs now, so you're in a good situation.
Kevin Fremont, Kevin, thank you for the phone call. Your thoughts on yesterday's win?
It looked great. No, we're so ready to throw Garoppolo under the bus. He's no good. He has a great game now. He's Joe Montana reincarnated. Slow down, people. Let the man get some games under his belt under this system. The mistakes he's making is he doesn't play. Before I go, you guys better check the afternoon show, because they were talking a lot of the stuff about you about wanting to lose, how you guys want to lose every game in your contest. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't address that sort of thing because it's like every show in the country is kind of talking about us. Every show here is always talking about us. It's like we only have 4 hours. We don't have time to dedicate the entire show to everyone else's commentary about us. See, that's what happens when you're on top, right? You're on top of the mountain. Everyone down in the village wants to know what's going on top of the mountain. What do you got? What are you doing up there? I got positive things to say about you. I got negative things to say about you. We unfortunately don't have 4 hours to address all that commentary, so we just let it slide.
Yeah.
Whatever they got to say, that's on that program.
Did we lose
them
all? Like, did we do what we needed to do?
We got one more tonight, but so far the results have been a touch mixed, and we'll reveal full results coming up on the other side. But just to echo Joe's comments about checking them, we're too busy setting the tempo for the entire station, and dare I say the entire country.
Right.
As it pertains to sports talk, we don't have time to get into these little quibbles with some afternoon program.
Look to the sky, not the dirt. That's what I always say. When you're walking through life, if you're going to take some time to ponder, look up to the sky, admire the stars. Don't stare at the dirt.
Hey.
That's just a little nugget of wisdom from
great
one
words,
Joseph
right there,
Harrison
Joe.
Fortenball the fourth.
The fourth?
Yeah, to the fourth. Can you believe that? Game of Thrones stuff going on in my family.
Not five, not six, not seven.
We got five. I mean, I'll George Foreman in if she lets me. I'll George Foreman in and start naming everybody. To the Dialpad guest line we go. Hall of Famer, three-time Super Bowl champ, 95.7 The Game Football Insider. Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Rice with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Jerry, can you believe it? 2-0, and it looks like a juggernaut on offense.
Yeah, you know, it's exciting to see the Niners get that second win under their belt. And I have to make a comment, though. You said look to the sky, not to the dirt. But a lot of good things come from the dirt. What do you think about that?
I let Lo handle that. Lo's from the Central Valley. He grew up on a farm. I figured that's his area of expertise.
He's our expert, Jerry. Yeah, absolutely right.
He's our soil guy.
All the soil, the almonds, the plants, and the fruit, and it comes from the dirt. You're right. The soil grows those things. So, yes, it works hand in hand. But the sun up above, it brings. Anyway, Jerry, as I digest.
All right, let's go. Come on.
Let's go. Okay. Jerry, Deebo Sanders, what do you think about Deebo Samuels? How was he? What did he show you in game two? Is this a guy that we should get behind? Is this going to be a true number one? What did you see for this guy?
Well, I think he's starting to move into that starting slot now. You know, he's starting to get more reps. And what I like about him is his physicality. I mean, this guy, you know, once he catches the football, you know, he's almost like a running back. And he wants to punish people. So, you know, he's a key component of their offense right now. I think he's loving the opportunity, and he's only going to get better.
Samuel, Goodwin, Mostert, all with receiving touchdowns.
Yeah.
You have to tip the cap to Kyle Shanahan. What did you think of the creativity with which he called plays yesterday, Jerry?
Oh, man, it was like, wow, we should give him an Oscar, man, to be honest with you. And that one with Marquez Goodwin, where Marquez looked like he was going to, you know, just come down the line and block, then he slid out. It was almost like pitch and catch. It was like they were just in practice, and he was so wide open, and with Jimmy G, he just had to deliver the football, and he did that. So the creativity on offense, you know, what the defense is doing, you know, I don't want to jump the gun, but, man, I'm starting to feel it a little bit. You know, I feel like, you know, in two games, these guys are looking – really, really like contenders.
Jerry Rice joining Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. What's going to need to improve in order for them to push the envelope the whole way? And by the whole way, I mean get to the playoffs. We're not going to talk about the Super Bowl on this program. There's a lot of work to be done. But the idea of getting to the playoffs, from what you've seen, where do they need to improve?
I think, you know, you know, they just got to not have as many turnovers. And you know, Jimmy G, he had an interception yesterday, but he really managed the game well, you know, with 297 yards and three touchdowns. He got his playmakers into the ball game where they could make plays. Defense, you know, they jumped. They stood up. Alexander, he had an interception. That's like four interceptions, you know, for the Niners already, which is unbelievable compared to last year. I think they might have to just go back and they have to practice in Youngstown. That's what they have to do. They have to stay at that Holiday Inn. They have to eat ice cream, and they just have to just focus on football. And if they do that, man, you know, I feel like they have a great chance of, you know, winning the Super Bowl.
Jerry, you guys had some success in your years playing there, Super Bowl against that team, Cincinnati. It always seemed like the Niners play pretty good there. The running game, when you look at Mostert and what he was doing and Jeff Wilson and you saw Breida, what do you think about going over 200 yards with three guys that are just supposed to be guys? Is it more system or are they good players? How do you evaluate the running game?
I think the running game is about you run by committee. And whoever is in there, you know, I think those running backs have taken it on themselves to say, hey, look, we're going to, you know, establish the game. We're going to control it. We're going to, you know, run the ball, get positive yards. Then if we do that, that's going to open up that passing game. And whoever is behind, you know, Jimmy G, I'm sure they have confidence in that person that they can get positive yards. And they look really good right now, and they just have to keep it up. And, you know, I think they feed off each other, which is good. And I always like competition, even in that wide receiver, you know, category and stuff like that. You know, you need individuals to push you, and I think that's what you're seeing with the running backs, and they only going to get better.
And you see the tight end George Kittle, who's been the big receiving threat, yet only three catches on three targets yesterday, but you see what he's doing in the run game, Jerry. How fun is that as an offensive player to be out there in a run-heavy set and go out there and be able to dominate defenders like Kittle was in the blocking?
Yeah, I think the thing is, man, when a receiver or a tight end can, you know, smash someone in the mouth, you know, it feels good. Yeah, we like to catch the football. We like to score touchdowns. But we also like to open up opportunities, you know, for our teammates. And I think that's what's happening with Kittle right now. You know, and he's going to get this opportunity. He's going to get his opportunity to catch more footballs and score much more touchdowns because you got other phases of this offense, you know, just making plays from the wide receivers to the running backs. So it's almost like it's going to be one of those where you pick your poison. And once you start trying to take those receivers out or you start bringing more people down into the box to try to stop that running game, it's going to open up Kittle where it's going to give him opportunities.
Jerry Rice joining us here on 95.7 The Game. It wasn't all good news yesterday. Joe Staley, left tackle extraordinaire, lost for what they're saying is 6 to 8 weeks with a broken left fibula. Hopefully he can get back as soon as possible. But how do you adjust? How do you compensate for an injury like this? It's the left tackle. It's one of the most important positions on the field. Jimmy's going to have to get that ball out of his hands in a hurry.
Yeah, but it's next man up. Next man up, that's it. And you know, we're wishing that Joe Staley can get back as quickly as possible, you know, because we know he's a key component of that offense. But it's next man up. And that guy is going to have to, you know, fulfill that role, you know, because, you know, Jimmy G probably could get the ball out of his hands just a little quicker. But, you know, right now, I think he's making good assessments downfield and you know, whenever you have a quarterback that can look downfield, hold on to the ball just a little bit longer, what it's going to accumulate to is big plays. So, you know, next guy up, just let Jimmy G continue doing what he's doing and we'll see where the team goes.
Jerry, when you watch the play calling and the play design, are you more impressed with the play design or play calling? You alluded to Goodwin, how he came open. The call actually had a linebacker trying to cover him. What is it? How do you get, how do you put, what is Shanahan doing to put his receivers, making it look like, you know, 12 personnel got the receiver in a tight end position to get them matched up with the linebackers or getting guys confused? Do you, did you love being in that, did you love being in that situation? What is it Shanahan's doing that's causing that?
I think it's that run pass option. And when you got, you know, when you got the entire offense so bunched up, it makes things real difficult for the defense because, you know, these guys, they're in small quarters. You're not sure where everybody's going to go. If a receiver should go across field, it's going to be more difficult because you got, you know, that small little narrow line that you can run through. So it makes things a little bit more congested. And I think that's the reason why, you know, with Kyle Shanahan, he's being so creative right now. Run someone all the way across field. It's going to be hard to cover that guy man to man. You're going to have to go through traffic coming from the other side. And I think that's why, you know, with Marquez Goodwin, that's why he became so wide open, is because it was a man-to-man situation.
On the second touchdown, it was a blitz beater to Mostert. Richard Sherman talked after the game about staying humble despite being 2-0. How tough is it, Jerry, when you're off to a good start? Is it to keep your head down and continue working and not get caught up in your press clippings?
Yeah, you know, yeah, but if you got veterans, and just like what Richard Sherman said, yeah, you're 2-0, but, you know, you still got a ways to go. And now you have the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up. So, you know, they're 2-0 for the first time since 2012. So that's, you know, that is pretty cool. But, hey, look, we got to keep winning football games. And I don't think they're going to buy into the Kool-Aid right now. You know, they feel like they have more to offer. And, you know, you just look at the intensity on that defense, on that football field, you know, what they're doing. So this year, you know, I think this team feels like they have a legitimate chance of doing something special. And it's going to have to happen game by game. You can't look down the road. You got to respect everybody. But you got to have confidence in yourself, you know, yourself that, hey, look, we are the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to do something special this year, and we're going to leave everything on the football field.
Jerry, that's an excellent point. It brings me to my final question. We were looking ahead at the schedule. December 8th, it could be a very, very critical matchup. It's in New Orleans against the Saints. New Orleans is known for being a good time. We were wondering, do you think the radio station should send us down there? We're thinking about going, supporting the team, covering the game. Do you think that would be a good idea? After all, you are the greatest of all time.
No, I don't think that would be a good idea to see you guys. You know, because I don't think you guys can stay focused on detail and what you have to do, because New Orleans is New Orleans. And the food and Bourbon Street and all of that, you might get distracted. And
Jerry.
So I think we should keep you guys at home, you know, where I can watch you guys and make sure you guys stay on point.
I mean, as much as I hate him, it's an accurate answer.
Well, I mean, does he deserve the boot track for that? Yes. I mean, we hope for the GOAT.
You have to admit, it was sort of believable, right? But
Jerry, it's 100% accurate. I think it's 100% accurate.
Jerry, no, I hate the answer, but it's accurate.
Yeah, but if you guys going to New Orleans, I'm going to New Orleans with you guys.
Let's go.
Okay, all right.
All right, let's do it.
Now it's official.
We'll do it.
They're all getting us first class tickets. Jerry, you're in. Since you're going first class, we're staying wherever you want, Jerry. Let's make it happen.
See, you're trying to use me now. You know I'm going to get first class, so you're going to just try to jump on that bandwagon, right?
Duh.
Thank you, Uncle Jerry.
Jerry, just let it happen. Let it happen, Jerry.
Jerry, let's go. We're going to go get crazy.
3-time Super Bowl champ, Hall of Famer, 95.7 The Game football insider, the great Jerry Rice with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Jerry, we always appreciate the time. 2-0. Hopefully by this time next week when we're speaking, the Niners are 3-0.
Yeah, guys, I'm telling you, though, it's the ice cream and the Holiday Inn, guys. That's the secret, okay?
There it is, ice cream and Holiday Inn.
Beautiful stuff.
I'm sure they have both stuff in New Orleans, ice cream and Holiday Inn. Uncle Jerry,
yeah, doing, guys.
I can't wait. See you in New Orleans, Jerry.
All right, got you. Bye.
He must
perfect.
When he went to Cincinnati to stay, that's what he must have did. He must have stayed at Holiday Inn, Jerry, that is, and had some good ice cream.
I please get the breaking news sounder? Niner fans, pay very close attention.
95.7 The Game breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
Ben Roethlisberger is out for the season. The news comes from Ian Rappaport, NFL insider from the NFL Network. Quote, the Steelers announced that quarterback Ben Roethlisberger had an MRI on his right elbow and will need surgery this week. He is out for the season. Blue check mark and all in front of me.
Wow.
That's from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. The Niners lose Joe Staley, come home for the home opener week three. Now, we don't want to get too into this game just yet, obviously, because it's Monday. But we've got to address the news. Ben Roethlisberger is out for the season. Now, to start off with the most obvious comment, but it still needs to be said, you don't wish injury upon anyone, okay? So there's no celebration at the news of a human being needing surgery and being unable to ply his craft. So let's just make sure that is very clear from the outset. But when you begin to peel it back and look at it from an on-field perspective and what it means when talking about wins and losses, this obviously tilts the scales towards the Niners, does it not?
Yes, it does. And I look forward to seeing what that number actually opens at, as before Pittsburgh was a very narrow favorite.
1.5 on the look ahead line. Pittsburgh 1.5.
And then now you have a Niner domination and you've got Big Ben with the elbow injury and he's out for the year. And you hope he's able to come back and end his career on his own terms. But there was already speculation about Big Ben maybe being toward the end. And you got Mason Rudolph at quarterback. You don't know if they'll have their starting running back. This is an organization that might be in transition for one of the rare times in the past 50 years.
They're in transition, without a doubt. If you think about why they drafted Rudolph in what, second round or early, late first, I think they knew this was coming. Big Ben was hinting around with retirement. He's a guy that I don't know if he takes the offseason as serious as is Tom Brady or Drew Brees.
Yeah, you don't need to say, I'm not sure. Okay. I can assure you, when you look at his body type, he does not take it as serious as Tom Brady.
And I think this is starting to catch up to him, and I think this is the end of Big Ben. I think that
you think we've seen the last of Ben Roethlisberger.
I do. You kind of watch him, see him fall off. It just doesn't know if he's really engaged. I think that he's done. So it's going to be interesting. How is this fair for the Niners? I think the worst thing you can do is go in and be like overconfident right now. This is a situation where, hey, you got a young quarterback that understand what's at stake. This team, this Pittsburgh Steelers team is going to try to rally around this guy. They understand this is it. This is their season. They're 0-2, Joe. They're 0-2. A hungry dog hunts best. They're going to be scrappy.
From the 408 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, hey, Joe, this really hurts our four-game parlay because now it's going to be like minus 200 on the money line instead of even. This is true. We will not win as much money, but I'd rather win some money than lose money.
Absolutely.
Let's not be greedy here. For those who don't know what we're talking about, there was a decision made about a month ago. Well, no, I'm not trying to rub it into him. It's just you got to keep the listeners updated.
He's giving Mr. Look.
He is upset that he's not a part of it, and he sees how this is shaking down.
I feel as if I just drank a tall glass of prune juice. That's all. That's fine. It's healthy. It's good for me. You guys, no, go ahead, Joe. Please lay it out.
A little over a month ago, we went through the Niners schedule, and we talked about the idea of, 0-4, 4-0, 3-1, 1-3, all the possible scenarios. And then we started to make the case for 4-0, and it sounded, like it was obviously going to be a challenge. But then we had the idea that Lowe and I got so into it. Dibs was against. He didn't see 4-0 happening. Lo and I thought, let's do a continuous money line parlay, right? Let's not worry about the point spread. Let's just play the Niners to win in week one. And if it wins, we'll take the initial investment plus the winnings and we'll roll it in the week two. And if that wins, we'll roll the whole thing in the week three and then the whole thing into week four. So right now, here's where it stands. Anna's in on this as well. Lo invested 100. I invested 100. Anna invested 20 bucks. We took the 220. And the first game of the season, they were +1 at Tampa Bay, which meant it was even money. No plus, no minus, even money. 220 paid 220. So we now have $440 that we reinvested the full amount in the Bengals game. Now, in that game, it was a pick 'em, which meant the money line was -110. Risk $110 to win 100. So we took the full 440, invested it on the Niners, and made $400. So now the bankroll is at $840. What started as $220 is now at $840, and we will be reinvesting the whole thing in Pittsburgh this weekend. Someone call Jim Cramer because this is mad money.
This
is mad money.
And if it's minus 200, then it's going to be 840 to win basically 420.
Right. So we bump it up to maybe like 1200 if it's minus 200, but whatever. We're sticking with our plan.
Yeah.
We're not laying points.
No.
I want to make it very clear now, there will be no adjustments to the plan. They're not going to be a 10-point favorite, okay? It's going to be a relatively small favorite. There's going to be a big case made for how the defense always rallies for the backup quarterback. Did anyone see that angle with Jacksonville yesterday? Houston's going to blow him out, right? Houston's going to blow him out? Not so fast, my friend, in the words of the Great Lee Corso.
Nice.
Jacksonville loses that game by 1 point.
Yeah.
1 point. So
Minshew with a chance for the 2-point conversion. They were a half a yard away, Coach.
I love the cojones to go for that.
I do, too.
I love the cojones to go for that. Same with Vic Fangio yesterday going for it. I love it. Go out there and make a play. Look, here it is. It's 2.5 yards for the win. What would you rather do? Get a stop and then drive down? Why are you going to add so much to the equation? 2.5 yards. Go get it. Go get it. And if you can, fine. Move on.
You're
the Broncos. You're not winning the Super Bowl this year anyway. Ooh, how are you feeling about that bet now?
Man, you know what?
You're asking me?
We're not going to be
You're asking Lowe.
No.
You're asking Lowe how he feels.
Maybe we can let you in on it for something.
Yeah, well, no. We might give him a chance to bend the knee in the 9 o'clock. Maybe.
Not with Big Ben out.
Yeah. Joe,
Big Ben? As in the knee?
The Big Ben.
No pun intended. You started talking about this and just talking about what's going on and how it looks for us. My hands start sweating a little bit. You know, you get that, oh my God, I don't want to get too excited, and then Dibs gave me that little smirk, shaking his head, and I just couldn't help but.
I'm just disappointed in myself, and this maybe is a lesson for me on how to approach the rest of my life, whatever days I have left. Don't be so negative all the time.
Not negative. Don't be so conservative all the time.
That's more negative.
It was a group thing where we were jumping in for a few bucks. Just jump in.
It was more about being negative than it was about being cheap.
It was because he called me out.
Believe me, I'll squander some money now.
Remember, he was calling us pretty much you were saying homers. And I said, oh, really?
I think I did my Marge Simpson for you.
That deal where he challenges us to that little when he does to me. And I'm like, all right, really? Well, put your money where your mouth is. I bet they got a better chance of winning 4 games. Oh, whatever.
Time to get excited.
2-0, Joe.
Not so much excited about the Ben Roethlisberger injury. We're excited about the prospects of beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. Want to be very clear because this is a classy program. We put class above all else.
Yes.
Class, couth, dignity. These are the things that we value around here.
Sure.
Not going to celebrate someone's injury, but we are going to talk about the idea of maybe having a better chance of winning the game because of said injury. Yeah. Speaking of injuries, Joe Staley, how do the Niners approach it? Michael Lombardi, multiple Super Bowl winner, former NFL general manager. He's going to join us next to discuss the Trent Williams option and whether or not it's viable, as well as what else may be out there. We've also got Ian Williams at 9:30. Big final hour. Buckle up. Joe Lowe and Dibs, your boys, here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.